motivated you to move out to the Bay Area from Texas in the early 60s? And what was it like when you got out here?
Texas motivated me to move out. It was in the 60s, early 60s especially, it was a racist, sexist, chauvinistic society. I didn't fit in. I didn't know where I wanted to go, but I knew I wanted to get out of Texas. I knew there were places that were worse, but a friend said, come out to California, you might like it out here. And I got out here in the fall of early fall of 64, just a month or two before the free speech movement blew up in Berkeley, and was able to be a part of all of that. Hippies had just recently been invented and replaced beatniks. Beatniks being basically negative and hippies being basically positive and utopian. I thought that was really cool. Even grew a beard after a year or two, which was very radical for a Texan. However, I'm not really a Texan. I was born in Oakland, California. I was just drugged back to Texas before I was old enough to defend myself.
After a couple of various jobs when you first moved out here to the Bay Area, you ensconced yourself in the math department at the College of Notre Dame, which was a little bit of a strange perch for a person interested in a bohemian lifestyle.
Yes and no. I was chair of the math department. I had taught math before at a Catholic college in San Antonio and had done well, had run a summer math institute for them. And this was during the era of the modern math and post-Sputnik era when the United States was trying to catch up, as it perceived it, with Russia in the space race and decided science and math was important. And I was one of the relatively few people who had been trained in the so-called modern math, which was really traditional mathematics. I had gotten out here in the early fall, had no idea of what I was going to do or where I was going to do it, but knew I was getting out of Texas and liked what I found here. I took one semester, or was hired in a junior high school down in Mountain View for one semester, and quickly decided that I was no longer interested in teaching junior high school kids, which are basically unteachable, and looked around for another job. The College of Notre Dame needed a math department chair, and I got it. And that worked great. I liked them, they liked me, all the way up to the end.
One of the lifestyle choices you made was you bought a house up in the hills, which is still kind of a remote area today, and you started frequenting a nude beach at San Gregorio.
A couple of friends from Lupin Nudist Camp down in the Santa Cruz Mountains had started going to the San Gregorio Free Beach, which they then ultimately made famous by publicizing it. And they dropped by the house and said, oh, this is a great beach, you've got to come down and see it. So I went down and thought it was really cool, and started hanging out there, and that begat a lack of clothes, which makes much more sense than cold, clammy, wet swimsuits, sand-filled swimsuits. And sort of I invited a bunch of people from the beach to come up to stop by the house at the end of one day. It ended up being a party. I didn't expect it to be a party. It just sort of, I'd met a bunch of people that I'd liked and enjoyed meeting. Most of them were college and university people. Most of them were almost all of them were professionals. Turned into a great party. And at one point, we were, dancing and playing rock music, acid rock music, and consuming various pharmaceuticals and smoking funny cigarettes. And at one point, one couple went in to take a shower and get the sand and sweat from the beach off, came back out, stark naked, drying off. And all of us sort of did, oh, my God, they don't have any clothes on. And then we said, hey, cool. And clothes just came off, and it was an unusual party. and it was probably less, there was certainly less, if you will, sexuality in those parties than in a typical cocktail party. Because with nothing on, everybody knew exactly what you were doing and what was in your mind, at least for males.
I like the idea of the free beach. Obviously, free in this context didn't mean that you didn't have to pay a fee. It was about freedom. And getting back a little bit to computing, I'm reminded of the remark of Richard M. Stallman, the godfather of the open source movement, who said, free software isn't about cost. Free software is about freedom.
True, very true. And in fact, the free beach was free in the sense that you could wear clothes or you didn't wear clothes. You were not forced to be nude, as sometimes happens at the nudist camps, and you were not forced to be clothed, as always happens at the state beaches. But anyway, that's what happened. And then I wasn't very secretive about what I was doing about the parties. They became very large. Max Scheer from the old Berkeley Barb came down. Ralph Metzner, who was one of the trinity of the Albert Leary Metzner authors of Psychedelic Experience, came to some of the parties. The assistant Unitarian minister for the Palo Alto Unitarian Church and his wife and kids came to the parties. And the word got back to the good sisters at the Catholic Women's College where I was teaching. And it was really more of a Catholic girls' college. It was basically where Catholic parents put their children, their female children, desperately hoping to keep them properly virginal long enough to get them married. And the idea of a professor, especially a male professor, having nude parties was not cool. And the word got back. Some people got upset. The president of the college, Sister Catherine Julie, called me in and said, Professor Warren, this rumor is going around, and is it true? And I said, yes. And she said, what you do with your private life is your business. However, your private life has become rather public, and I think you'll have to agree that it is rather incompatible with the philosophy of a Catholic girls' school. And I said, yes, would you like for me to resign? And she said, oh, we would very much appreciate it. So I resigned, and it was mid-year, and I was looking around for something else to do, and I'd already become involved in the Mid-Peninsula Free University and was its general secretary at the time as just a pro bono, good stuff, interesting thing to do. The Free U organizers, of whom I was one, I guess, didn't want me to have to go get a real job, a full-time job, where I couldn't continue to do the Free University volunteer work. And so we were meeting one evening at Tresseter Student Union at Stanford, and somebody said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't know. And another guy said, well, why don't you go into computer programming? I said, well, I thought about that, but first, I've only had one course in it, and secondly, the idea of working 8 to 5 or even 9 to 4 or 10 to 3 really isn't attractive to me. I'd become very accustomed to being departmental chair and setting my own schedule. And then one of them said, well, why don't you come on over to Stanford Medical Center and work for me? You don't have to work regular hours. I'll give you the access to the computer. You can ask my lab tech simple questions. And you're bright. You'll pick it up. I said, well, okay. And thus, I switched from teaching math to becoming a computer programmer. So totally bootstrapped in, through no intention or planning on my part. In fact, I would say out of the dozen or so careers, so-called careers that I've had, or career paths that I've followed, stumbled along, probably teaching math was the only career I ever consciously planned for and chose. And I haven't done it since 1966.